It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Hold on, Alex. I've just got to make sure I do this right, because your podcast starts right. Whoa, easy there.
Sort of started.
Yeah, it's all right. No, we're okay. We're good. We're underway. Hi, Alex. Hello.
Hey, Mikey. How's it going?
Hi. What's going on with the telly?
Hey, just continuing to take over everybody's lives.
Yeah, it is true.
Do you have a little bit of a black eye there, Mikey?
Yeah, I walked into a door on Friday night and
classic
really hurt.
Domestic really abuse story there.
Yeah.
Classic
woman, yeah.
Classic light.
Right, like the edge of the door, you know, like when the door's open like that, and then just like,
been there.
I swore really badly.
Hey, so we're going to talk about a show today that I teased in the first show of the new year, a show that I was looking forward to. It's called Here and Now. It's an HBO drama created by a guy called Alan Ball, who made 6 Feet Under and
You were crowing about this, weren't you?
Sure was, yeah. He also wrote and... did he direct? No, didn't direct. No, of course not. But he wrote American Beauty. It's got a lot to say. It's got a lot to say about America, you know?
Yeah.
Those shows are... Have you seen 6 Feet Under?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I really enjoyed 6 Feet Under. I quite enjoyed the end of it, actually, the way it ended.
It's a beautiful ending.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful ending. There is a 6 Feet Under-sized hole on television, I think. Arguably, I think there are some shows that are filling that hole that I've not seen. People keep talking about... So that show, This Is Us, have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it.
Seems kind of 6 feet-esque. Did you watch True Blood?
I got through about 5 or 6 seasons of True Blood.
Wow.
So you missed
the last one.
Yeah, I think I might have seen the last one. It just all got a bit too big. Like it was always a bit flimsy in the, around the edges. But I really liked the first couple of episodes, series of it, and then just. When I started in and out of fairies and this and that, and under the secret compound and the special
all of that's
guns
gibberish
to me.
I have no idea. I didn't even get past the sort of third episode. Although I did try several times to actually give it a proper smash, but I found it a bit clunky and a bit weird and like just a bit too. I don't know. I guess I was expecting 6 Feet Under with vampires and you know felt like it failed me a little bit. But really good opening sequence. Got to say that. Ran for 7 seasons, so who cares? What I think. So this is a show, Here and Now is a show about a multiracial family.
It's a boring title.
Portland, Oregon. It's a boring title. It is a boring title.
Yeah.
You tell me, what does that show look like to you, Here and Now?
Bunch of people sitting around. I don't know. it's just like...
I mean, it could be...
Must be called Here We Go.
It stands. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's like a vagueness to it that doesn't really imply anything concrete about the narrative.
6 Feet Under, of course, they were a funeral director, the funeral service, weren't they?
Yeah, well,
Undertakers. True Blood, vampires, which was True Blood was the name of the synthetic blood that they made, et cetera, et cetera.
I think you've kind of tapped into something here, which is that both of those shows have very definable and clear hooks, and this show does not.
This show
feels much more indefinable and nebulous.
But in that case, more real?
Well, let's give a, like, so we're only 2 episodes in. It's about a multiracial family in Portland, Oregon. Tim Robbins and Holly Hunter play the patriarch and the matriarch of this family. They have 4 children. 3 are adopted and 1 is their only biological child. So there's Duke, who they adopted from Vietnam. Ramon, adopted from Colombia. Ashley is an African-American woman. And their only biological child, Kirsten, who is actually played by Kevin Bacon's daughter, no less. So in the opening episode, Tim Robbins is turning 60 years old and he's pretty bummed out about it. And Holly Hunter is organizing his party and everybody else kind of agonizes over their role in the party and the family.
I think I feel like I've seen the very beginning of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's trope heavy. It's like, I think you've seen several things in your life that are like a patriarch and a matriarch organize a momentous milestone birthday while all of the other family members learn about how their relationship.
Maybe it's just a thing, part of the program.
Yeah. Totally. It feels very like Richard Curtis-esque, you know. So I guess the parents are kind of the locus for everything in the way that like the funeral home was the hook of Six Feet Under, kind of, but I don't really feel like that is enough of a descriptor for what the show does. Like, I think
it's sort of like the family home or the family, the comings and goings within the main family unit sort of thing.
So it's sort of more about, maybe it's something more appropriate to relate it to another show would be that like the race to this show is what the funeral home is to Six Feet Under.
Right.
And that gets kind of okay, like,
so get funded pretty well though, wouldn't it?
Well, okay, so
in that respect, yeah.
This is
it's quite a good one for selling the show, isn't it?
It's an HBO, it's obviously an HBO show. Yeah. Alan Ball's obviously been in the HBO wheelhouse for decades.
Yeah.
It is in the Sunday night slot that Big Little Lies premiered in last February. So this is right.
It's a big one.
Big deal slot.
It's a big whopper.
It's a huge, you know, it should be a huge offering. It's the kind of, I think it's the same slot that Game of Thrones would be in if it was a Game of Thrones year. Not that obviously it would be in right now. It'd probably be later on in the year. And I don't think that this show quite reaches the muster that those other shows should or have proven, in terms of audience size. The show, I think, would work if it was on TV in the way it is now 10 years ago. I mean, I just can't really see it pulling away from the kind of peloton week by week. I can't see people kind of coming back to it weekly in a way that it feels like appointment viewing in the way that Thrones does or Big Little Lies does or any of those shows that you know, have to watch. I can see people binging it. I can see people waiting until it's over and then just smashing it all out in a season. I can see it being a fine enough second-tier show, but I don't really think it feels large enough to be this HBO tentpole. I mean, I guess to be fair...
How many episodes have you seen?
I've seen two. There are only two out, so it's going week by week. I don't know. I'm not even sure necessarily that Six Feet Under would work in the same way now.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I think it would get lost now.
Yeah, same. I think you're absolutely right. I think it would get lost. I think it is way too weird to kind of cut through the morass. Though, I mean, I didn't really watch it on TV at the time, so I don't really know what the reception was then. I kind of binged it all several years later. So the weirdest thing about this show, and this kind of like does feel quite Six Feet Under-y, is that the engine of the narrative of the first couple of episodes, other than the 60th birthday party, is that Ramon, who is this 24-year-old gay character, is having these dreams about this woman in red. And he starts to have this kind of series of bizarre existential experiences around the number 1111. And he starts to see the number 1111 repeated. And it kind of culminates in this, I mean, obviously, you don't, like, I don't want to spoil the first episode because it kind of does feel, I don't know, like worth watching, but it's pitched to you as like almost supernatural, like almost like this like hard sci-fi supernatural event, which is kind of so lateral to what the show feels like it's supposed to be about. So 1111 repeats often and often and often in both the first and the second episode, and I kind of feel like it's potentially this gigantic kind of philosophical metaphor that you could maybe read about. Like, almost feels like they want you to go out and research what 1111 means yourself, you know, and I think the kind of metatextual element to it is interesting because, like, for me, I think that a lot of the TV that's really successful these days, like in a lot of the auteurs that are working in TV, like Lena Dunham and Louis C.K. and Donald Glover and Frankie Shore and Pamela Adlon, all these people, even like the Game of Thrones guys, I think they have this like ease to which they are metatextual, and their shows kind of feel like a conversation, if that makes sense. Like, you,
yeah, intense, but yeah, sure.
They sort of like reflect and mutate and respond to us, and I feel like this show feels very much like a monologue. It feels like kind of hard and rigid, and it doesn't want to be involved in a conversation. It sort of just wants to tell us about what like race in America is like. Yeah. And I don't really think that is like, I don't know. I don't think that that's like a 2018.
Are you going to make it to episode 3?
It's a good question. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Yes. And the reason that I am, the reason that I am is because no matter how much I feel like academically, like that the show is kind of like failing to do what a like blockbuster HBO show should be doing, is that I can't stop thinking about these characters. Like they are.
See, this is what True Blood did to me. I keep thinking this hokey old show.
Yeah.
This ridiculous old nonsense. Yeah. And I thought, I kind of liked that last episode. Oh, I want to see what happens with that. I kind of like him. Yeah.
Even when I think about my experience of watching the first season of that show, like Ryan Quanten's character was really memorable, and the chef was really memorable, and obviously Anna Paquin and Stephen, what's his face,
memorable one.
Yep. The memorable one. Like they are kind of emblazoned on my brain. That show had a very clear tone and a very clear feeling. And I think Ball is really good at that. For all of his other, like, kind of ostensible faults, he's really, really good at creating characters and casting really, really well. Like, you know, casting actors that know what they're doing with this kind of sometimes clunky dialogue, especially in this case. It's often just really heavily about race. It's about this kind of, like... Okay, so it feels woke, right? Like it feels like a woke and progressive show, but it's so at pains to put that at the front and center of every single conversation. And you sort of start wondering, like, really, like 30 years in, would all of your conversations still be about race with your brother, you know? Like, would you still having these conversations? And that sort of seems to belie what the show should be doing, which is, like, giving you, like, a very clear and honest slice of life, you know? And I kind of think that's what I mean when I'm talking about this, like, monologue-esque is, like, element to the show. Is it just doesn't feel honest, you know? It doesn't feel real. And I also kind of think that maybe I did the show a disservice because I went to Lady Bird before watching the first episode, which is, have you seen it? You're making a face.
No. But I mean, you know, I know how things can influence other things.
I sort of feel like Lady Bird is like borderline perfect as a film, and it's kind of made by this, you know, generational talent, and it feels effortlessly like original despite working in this really, really trope heavy genre. And so to kind of come from that to something that sort of felt very rote in a very labored way.
It's woke but rote at the same time.
Woke but rote. I like it. Yeah.
What are we playing Interpol for?
Well, okay. So, I mean, we're only two episodes into this season, so there is no soundtrack really to speak of so far. So, Interpol is from the 6 Feet Under soundtrack. I just like doing a little throwback. I would actually encourage people to check out the 6 Feet Under soundtrack on Spotify. It's really good.
It's actually really good.
It's really long. It's really, really good. Here and Now. It's on Neon. I mean, I perhaps recommend waiting until it's over and then streaming the whole thing in a bunch if you want to get involved.
Or dig around and see if your views are the same as Alex's.
You'd also do that.
Thank you, Alex. See you again next week.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you, sir.
Viewmaster on 95BFM. Brought to you by Neon.